So, we're here by Esther invites Haman to the party with Achashverosh. Many of the Mefarshim question why she did this. What's the agenda? Why did she invite him? So the Sifrei Machshava point out here that the reason she invited Haman was because as long as Klal Yisrael thought that they had a friend in the palace, their tefillah was somewhat limited. Don't worry about it. You know, we got our man in the cabinet. We got our, the head of the Fed is a Jew. So don't worry about it. He's not going to let Wall Street fall.
I take it back.
So the moment, and again, there's like five or six different, in fact, the Gemara has different days. The Gemara itself asks the question. So that's one of the pshatim. Pasuk 6. We have my melech l'Esther, chapter 5, Pasuk 6. We have my melech l'Esther, b'mishtayayin ma'ashe losach v'yinosan lach. What is your request? It will be given ma'bakashosech. Ad Chatzia Malchus was Seos, and yesterday we saw Rashi tells us the Chatzia Malchus refers to, I'll give you everything but the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That you're not getting. So, Vatan Esther Vatoyma. So Esther answers and she says, She'elosiyu bakashosi. My request is not the Chatzia Malchus. The only request I have is imotzasi chayin b'ini ha-melech, if I have found favor in the eyes of the king, v'im ala melech tevin, it's good for the king. Lo says, eshe lo si v'las, this is bakashos. Did you really want to fulfill my desire? Yove ha-melech v'homen ala mishtah she'es alehem mochar. Right? U'mochar, please, you should come to the party that I'm going to make. U'mochar esek idvar ha-melech. This is Levi says here, what was Esther's agenda? Weren't there other ways that she could have brought about the same result? So he says, the truth is that there's a very similar vort by Belzruf, says by the agents, the Malachim, that came to Avraham Avinu, right? The three angels. So one came to inform Sarah that she was going to have a baby, one came to cure Avram, and one came to be Mahapech Sedaim. So why did the one who was coming to destroy Sedaim need to come to Avram Avinu? So the Belzeruv said that these angels had a tremendous fear of entering the atmosphere of Edom Hazeh, because the aura of Edom Hazeh has the ability, it is so dense and so impure that even Malachim can be corrupted by this world. Arayi says that there were, at the end, I think it's at the end of Parshas Noach, he had these angels that became demons, the Nephilim. So these angels did not want to descend into this world. So Hashem said to them, I have an etzah for you. You go and you eat of the food of a tzaddik who battles the temptations of the physical world and was able to overcome those temptations. If you eat shirayim from the tzaddik, that will protect you. So the angel that went to destroy Sodom, he had to come visit, he especially of all the angels had to come visit Avraham Avinu, because he was not only entering the physical world, but he was entering the Avay Satoma, he was entering the most contaminated place in planet Earth. So he says, Shulbelza says, if you look at the psukim there, he says to the angels, please eat, ki al kein avatam al avdecham. After all, that's why you came. I mean, it's not a very nice thing to say to a guest. You know, would you eat already? Because the only reason you came here was to eat, you know? So he says, according to this pshat, that he was saying to the angels, I know why you guys came. You came here because the tachlis was to eat.
Fortification.
Yeah, to eat to get your 39 vitamins enriched.
Even the angels did not know yet.
No. They don't need it. It was only this.
What can they eat? I guess apparently.
So in this case, they needed it.
Even though he did not know yet about the overturning.
So that's right. That's the question is, did he know they were angels? Did he know? But the Rambam said on some level he understood. Here, Esther wanted to destroy Haman. In order to destroy Haman, says the Vadir Chavirov, she needed to detach Haman from his source of whatever he was living off of. You know, like that line people say, like, I want whatever you're on. So she was, she understood that Haman derives his yinika, his sustenance, he leeches off of certain koiches, because evil can't exist on its own. Evil has to have a source. So Esther understood that in order to turn over the gezeira, that Haman and Achashverosh would need to eat from the food of a tzaddik. So she invites Haman and Achashverosh to a suda. A suda where she's the hostess, and they're eating of her shirayim, they're eating of her food. So the Vadir Chavirov says that Esther understood that she first needed to detach Haman from his yinika, from his being able to take out of Kedusha. He says that to bring Haman into the realm of Kedusha was not going to happen. So he was going to leave him high and dry. And as a result, he would have no source to be Yonikov at all, and he would die, which was what happened. Achashverosh, on the other hand, who was not as cruel and as wicked as Haman was, he, through the eating of Esther's food, ultimately would turn around and allow the Beis HaMikdash to be built. He was able to be transformed by the Suda. Haman did eat. It cut him off. It did affect him. It cut him off. It helped him to the degree where he became excised from his source, and he had no longer anything to be yearning from, and it just caused death. From the Kedusha? Because he was too tummy.
So that doesn't work.
Right.
It's like when Esther is fasting for 3 days, she was also cooking for the Suda.
She made this. Wow. She made this. Whatever she was doing, I don't know what she served. It says that she served the Mishta Yayin, where she was just preparing wine.
So, why was there one meeting where it said, tomorrow we'll meet again? What's the purpose?
Look at Pesach Tes. And here again, you have the built in side benefits that we're supposed to extract from here about eating from the food of a tzaddik. Vayetze Haman b'yomahu, despite the fact that long term it wasn't going to help Haman none, but at least temporarily, due to the fact that Haman ate of the food of a tzaddik, Haman walked out, at least for a moment, sameach v'tov lev. Look at the impact that eating from the food of a tzaddik can have on somebody, that even temporarily they can experience sameach v'tov lev. They could have joy and goodness of heart, even somebody as wicked as Haman. So this really pumps up the idea of the Suda of a Tzaddik. Ukirois Haman as Mordechai b'shar melech, and when Haman sees Mordechai sitting in the gate of the king, not only does he not get up, but I feel that tzitit nisht. There's mamish no reaction whatsoever. So Haman becomes mamish enraged. No, Chazal tell us enraged. Chazal tell us that Mordechai took off his sack v'efer, because now he's in Bashar Melech. When he heard that Haman would be passing through this area, so he did not want to waste an opportunity. So he put on back his rabbinic garb, and he brought a group of Talmidim, and he sat there teaching them Torah. And while he was there, he also began teaching them the laws of Eved Kenani and what it is like when you have a non-Jewish slave and the stature in halacha that the non-Jewish slave takes on. And then, as Haman's walking by, he says, and I happen to have one of those. And he pulls out his document that shows that he owned Haman. Well, needless to say, Haman is not impressed. Haman is not entertained by the shear, by the particular shear of that day in the laws of Hilchis Eved Kenani. I showed my father last night that the Chidah writes that earlier when it says, Ashehigid lehem hest aron, Ashehigid lehem kihu Yehudi, so everybody says that they said to Mordechai, to Haman, kihu Yehudi. You know about it? Mordechai didn't know. Haman didn't know that he's a Jew. No. Higid Lahem says the Chidah, kihu Yehudi. The guys said to Haman, you are halachically a Jew, because a non-Jew that's owned by a Jew, if he's in Eretz Yisrael, at least takes on the status of an Eved Kenani, which is a Jew. Well, there's nothing more insulting than to say to Haman that he's a Jew. So he was infuriated by the whole suggestion that Chidah says in Kisei David.
But what's this whole thing that he was on in
Mordechai? So the Medrash says, here, the Targum brings it. Targum brings it over here. That what he shared with these kids was that he was starving. They were in war, and he was starving, and Mordechai had food. And he sold himself. Let's see where it is. I just saw it last night. Bum bum bim bum bim bum bum bum. I think he was starving, and Mordechai wanted food, and Mordechai said, "I'll sell you the food if you sell yourself as a slave to me." And he agreed.
How did Haman get his wealth to find one of the fortunes of, was it Yosef?
Or Korach?
Yeah, Korach. How did Haman get wealthy?
Yeah, he became very wealthy. To the point where we discussed the other day, somewhere. And everything in the Megillah is orchestrated in such a way that it ends up helping Klal Yisrael. So it's Proshas HaKesef. The money that... What happened to the money that Haman offered Achashverosh?
He didn't take it.
Where did it? So he kept it in his own coffers, right?
Esther and Mordechai.
So it ends up becoming Mordechai's money. Because later on, Achashverosh transfers to Haman everything that...
To Mordechai,
all of Haman's stuff. And that money ends up becoming the Yisoid of the Beis HaMikdash, of the second Beis HaMikdash. That vast sum. Another really critical word is this. Proshas HaKesef, she goes and repeats to Esther, tells Hasach to tell Mordechai, this Proshas HaKesef, the money that was offered to Achashverosh. Why is it relevant? He rejected it. Why is anybody going back and telling him about the money? The whole money should be a non-issue. So it's like this. Again, several of the Mepharshim say this here. Haman, the scoundrel, wrote in the documents that he sent out that Achashverosh did accept the money. First, why? Because Haman's real interest was taking over the kingdom. He wanted to become king. He's trying to put down, simultaneously, he's trying to kill the Jews and to insult and demean Achashverosh. So what he does is, he writes that Achashverosh allowed himself to be bribed and he accepted the 10,000 kesef. Now, later on, when Esther approaches Achashverosh and says that had we only been sold la'avodim of the shvachas echrashnu, we would have been silent. Who's talking about selling anybody? What she does is she says to Achashverosh, had you only sold us for the money, that would have been fine. We would have lived with that. But you sold us to death. And Achashverosh, because otherwise it seems like the guy's off the wall. Wait a minute, you Zeveza, who is this that dare do this? You know that you authorized this. So he says, no, he authorized it for free. Haman went and wrote that this was a paid deal. So Achashverosh becomes enraged. Mi Zeveza, who dared to write that I took the money? So she says, Ish Tzarvay of Haman. Haman corrupted the whole thing to make you look bad. Achashverosh was infuriated. He wasn't infuriated about the fact that Esther was being killed. That's the way we read the Megillah Pashut. No, he was infuriated by his own insult that somebody wrote in the documents that he accepted the money. That's why the term is, had we only been sold, we would have been fined. Guilt. Pshat is, he wrote this, and that's what's Parashas HaKesef. That's why Mordechai told Hasach to tell Esther about the money, because that money is going to end up being the critical point to getting Achashverosh enraged against Haman and killing him. I'm just Pshat and Pesukim. All right, now the Targum on this is unbelievable. Targum on Pusik 14. So first of all, you got here, push is a lesson. You got a guy who's got everything in the world. He's got wealth and power and kids and everything. It's all worthless. Every time I see Mordechai Yehudi Yosh B'Shar Melech, there's one guy there who's not bowing down to me, so everything I have is worthless. Now, we realize why everything he has is worthless. He's telling the truth. Because all of it is really owned by Mordechai. It's taka neni shayvali, because if you're owned by somebody, they own everything you own. So it all belongs to Mordechai. Is ratoyim alezereshishte v'cholei havov. Jetzt lamet zusammenriefen alle getreie Menschen, right? All the people that are really loyal to you. You see a little bit later how loyal they are the minute the tide turns. And Zeresh tells him, forget it, you're done with. I went out of here. But here in the meantime is Yasu Eitz Kavaya Chamisha Mama. So the Targum here is absolutely fascinating. The Targum goes to town. Usually the Targum is very precise and says like this. I want to tell you, what should we do to Mordechai, this Jew? If he's one of these tzaddikim, so you're going to say, let's kill him by a sword. That's not going to work. Why? Because the swords of Klal Yisrael have already in history been turned back against his enemies. How about stoning him to death? Not going to work. Goliath was stoned by David. That's not going to work. Let's try... what is this? It's got a bunch of... Let's throw him into the sea. Not going to work. We already have a situation where they were thrown into water by Yoina and they were saved. How about fire? No, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were saved by... We've tried that fire thing, it didn't work. How about throwing him into a den with lions? No, Daniel survived the lion thing, not going to work. How about dogs? No, the dogs were already silent on the way out of Egypt, they liked the Jews. How about sending them into exile in a wilderness? No, are you kidding? The last time they went into the wilderness, they became a much, much larger people. So how could we possibly kill the guy? How about throwing him into jail, just letting him rot in prison? No, Yosef became king in jail. But how about stabbing him? No, Yitzchak was already saved from the knife. Poke out his eyes. Didn't work well with Shimshon and the Plishtim. So what do we possibly do? This is all the chacha. That's why you need Zeresh and the whole cabinet of, you know, he had the entire Yale and all the history scholars of of Shushan were there radiation. Going through, huh?
Radiation,
right. So they said, you know what we could do? The one thing we haven't tried against this guy is a gallows. I don't have any record in Jewish history of anybody being saved from the gallows. So let's try putting up a gallows. So get up in the morning and hang him up on the gallows. Now,
who's them? Let them make a gallows.
Oh, so he says here like this.
Is there any significance of the 50 cubits?
Yeah.
Haman, wait. So Haman, went and he brought in professional carpenters. The Kinoi, the some tribe here who were very good with woodworking. And they knew how to make a, this is the Targum here on the spot, they know how to make a real thing. And Zeresh, his wife, played on the kinor. What instrument is a kinor?
A harp,
a lyre, something, whatever it is.
It's a stringed instrument.
And she played music while they were working. It's one of the great simanim that having music playing while you're working. So Haman went to try out the gallows to make sure it was strong enough, says the Targum. And right, and the Basco came out and said, "It fits you well, Haman. It's, you know, it fits you. This gallows fits you well. It's just perfect for you." So that's the story with the gallows. Now, why the tall gallows? So the first of all, why immediately in the morning? So the Reb Sadie Goyen writes several reasons. First of all, that Mordechai should be really solidly dead before the party. Okay, so that really Haman can finally experience a truthful, happy party. Second thing is that he wanted to make sure to be there before anybody else can come in to apply for a defense for Mordechai. You get there before anybody else can. You plant your poison before anybody else can get in. That's what the Vilna Goyen says. The Medrash says that he wanted to get in before Mordechai can lay in Kriya Shema, because Chazal say that somebody who lays Kriya Shema immediately by Vasikin, so he can't be damaged that day. So the Yaros Dvash says that he wanted to get him hung up there before he has a chance to lay in Kriya Shema in the morning, so that he can't appeal to the segula of being Seimach Geula Litvila, of davening in that early hour that would save him. The Malbim writes that this was a tradition that when you wanted to create the atmosphere of fear, that people wake up in the morning and discover, okay, who was hung last night? That it creates an atmosphere of fear.
Was he trying to, for what purpose?
To instill fear about his power, about Haman's.
To make the Jews fear.
Yeah, the Bechal, everybody. Just to instill fear, I'm a powerful guy and everybody's going to. Okay, now why Dafko? So we discussed that. He says here a very interesting thing. I didn't realize Haman had an in with Bigson and Zeresh. They were Haman's friends, and when they went to poison Achashverosh, they were doing so at Haman's request. Haman had his eye on this, on the throne, and Haman was enraged that Mordechai uncovered the plot.
Haman was the cause of.
Haman was the guy that hired Bigson and Zeresh, and he wanted to take vengeance about the fact that Bigson and Zeresh were hung, and that's why he chose hanging for their demise.
Well, what's the reason for the 50?
Wait a second. One second. We'll get there in a minute. No, Yasu Eitz Gevaya Chamishim Mama. So he says here. Ay. Tzadik Vav. Okay, so the first one is that it was in a courtyard. In order for people to be able to see from far away, you need a very tall gallows.
It goes with the Malibs chat.
Huh?
That goes with the Malibs.
Yeah. Second one is that the Vilna Gaon says that Haman himself wanted to enjoy the sight from a distance, even when he's in the Beis HaMelech, that he should be able to see. He should be able to see from a distance. I shared with you the other day that Rav Moshe Montefiore, the great Askin, he was the great defender of Jews in many kingdoms, a very powerful, influential person. So he came to Warsaw, and he was unhappy with the secular education that the Jewish children in Warsaw were getting. So he said to the Ger Rebbe, he said, "You have a proof here from the Megillah that there's supposed to be a better secular education, because if not, how would Mordechai have uncovered the plot against the king if he wouldn't have known the language of Tursi that they were speaking?" So the Chiddush Yerim says to him, "No, the raya that you're bringing is exactly a proof to exactly the opposite." So he said, "Why?" So he says, "Imagine if it had been known that all the Jews could speak Tursi, then Bixen and Seresh never would have been talking in a language that they knew that the Jews were able to speak. The only reason they dared to speak that language there was because they knew that Jews didn't speak Tursi." So Meshach Montefiore sat back and said, "You're right, but Lamaisi, you still need a few Jews who can speak the languages. They should be able to do this." So Meshach, the Ger Rebbe says, "That's right, we have you." You'll be the Mordechai HaTzadik to be able to represent us. All right, so he goes and vayas ha eitz. He goes and makes the eitz, and it's called ha eitz because ultimately it becomes a very famous gallows. That becomes the gallows of that Haman was hung upon. Yeah. Chapter 6. Balayla hu nadad d'shnasa melech. Now this pasuk becomes the turning point in the story. This is where the orchestration begins of the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael Tzadikim. It's even brought in Halacha that by these pasukim, a person, the Balkari, is supposed to raise their voice because it's the beginning of the Yeshua. The Targum again veers away from Pshat, and he says on this night the sleep of the king. Again, remember the king refers here, when it says just the king, it refers to Melech Malchei Melechim, to the King of Kings. And this night was a night of great deliverance for Klal Yisrael. This is the night that Sarah was taken and to the house of Avimelech. This is the night that the firstborn of the Egyptians were killed. This is the night that many of the prophets of Klal Yisrael had their prophecies. So all of these events culminated in this great cry on high about the plight of Klal Yisrael. Again, the Targum, we're not dealing here with some Kabbalistic work. Bei Belailahu. On that night, Nidas Shinte Dekutche Berichu Mimroima, the slumber of HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes disturbed on high. And were it not for the fact that the Pasuk says this, no human being would be allowed to talk this way about Hashem. But the Pasuk says, Ura, wake up, Lama Sishan Hashem, God, why are you sleeping? Chas V'Shalom Leis Kadma Yishena, we know, God forbid, there is no such thing as sleeping on high. But when Klal Yisrael sin, then what we create on high is a similar affect, that it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceals himself and is not watching over Klal Yisrael. But on that night, that the tide turned because of the tshuva that Klal Yisrael did, and as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again looked back at Klal Yisrael and began to orchestrate the events that ultimately would save Klal Yisrael. Now, if you remember, if you look a few psukim back, when did Zeresh tell him to go to the king and ask for Haman to be hung?
Mordechai
to be hung. It says, go in the morning. Right? Well, Haman couldn't sleep either. So instead of going in the morning, Haman goes in the middle of the night.
Big mistake.
Yep. And this was, he was awake because he was busy. He just finished with the gallows at the music, you know, the party, the gallows party. So he went to, so he starts with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyocha couldn't sleep. Then he says, this is the, again, the Targum. Then he says, on that night, Haman couldn't sleep because he was busy with the gallows. Then he says, Beibalail on that night, Nidas Shin Sidra Esther. Esther couldn't fall asleep. Why? Because she was baking chalas for the party tomorrow for Haman and Achashverosh. Notice again, Esther had plenty of maidservants. She had plenty of people that could do the work. But when you're working on the salvation of Klal Yisrael, you do the work yourself. Huh?
You get your hands dirty.
Exactly. You know,
would you have been baking matzahs? How could she bake
matzahs? Good. This ain't good.
It's Pesach,
right? Pesach to get cakes.
Is there a shtickle?
No
like
wonder Haman wanted to die. What?
Is this a shtickle like when Avraham Avinu went and put his donkey?
Exactly that you say. No, but they derive from here the concept of it, because it says that Haman got his hands dirty building the gallows. He worked along, and as a counterpart, Esther is working on getting her hands dirty to bring about the salvation of Klal Yisrael. But this becomes a pointer to how we see our mission in our avodah. If we understand that to the degree that we invest ourselves in our mitzvahs, to that degree will be the everlasting effect of our mitzvahs upon generations to come. Then the Targum continues, on that night, Nidas Shinse Demak Achashverosh Tafsha. The stupid Achashverosh couldn't sleep either. He was falling asleep, he woke up, and this is where the kid's story comes from. The spirit that operates with kings came and kept on throwing him out of bed. So he said to he called in his, you know, his gabbai and said, what did you give me today to eat? What did I drink today that I can't eat, I can't sleep? Then he goes into actually doing some analysis. Was there anything that I did today to some one of the countries that would possibly cause this? Then the Targum continues, Bei Belailahu, on that night, all Duchran Avraham Yitzchuk Yankiv Kodem Avon Bishmai. It was on that night that the memory of Avraham Yitzchuk and Yankiv came before their Heavenly Father, and they sent from on high the angel Michael, Rav Chelad Yisrael, the general, the head general of Klal Yisrael. And he went and sat by the head of the king, and he was the one, the Malach Michael was the one who prevented Achashverosh from sleeping all night. Until Achashverosh asked that they bring before him the book of
Chronicles.
To look at the to tell the stories of the kings that came before him.
It says that he had a dream.
That Haman wanted to kill him all night long.
Somebody wanted to kill him.
No, he says that Haman wanted to kill him.
He had the dream. Haman was standing over him.
Haman was standing over him with a sword. Right.
Who had the dream?
Achashverosh kept every time he dozed off, he had a dream, and then he says, "Who's Bechatzer?" And the guys say, "Haman's Bechatzer." So he said, "Oh, here he is. He's here to do it."
He's about to have a second feast with him.
Yep, and the final. It was the Last Supper. This is where it comes from on Pesach, right? This is the last. This is the Last Supper. It says Mordechai couldn't sleep. Because Klal Yisrael were gathered and we're doing tshuva and analyzing what did we do to bring ourselves this
decree.
This decree. Oh, wait, it gets better. Some things never change. Listen to this. So they were sitting in front of Mordechai and saying to him, you were the one who caused all this tzaras for us. Because had you gotten up and bowed down to Haman, we would not have all these problems. So Mordechai said to them, are you kidding? The clothing that Mordechai is wearing has two images on it. One in the front and one in the back. So if anybody's bowing down to that, they're bowing down to Aved Zorah. And all of you know that somebody who bows down to an Aved Zorah will be destroyed, both from this world and from the next world. So they didn't have an answer.
He also said he wore one around his neck, too.
Yeah, but here it's interesting. Here he says that it was embroidered into his clothing. All right, so they were reading the Sefer HaZecharonis, and they found there pasuk two vayimatzik kosev, and they found there that Higin Mordechai al Biksin of Eseres. The Mordechai was the one who reported about Biksin Eseres. Shnei Risei Hamelech, the two agents of the king, Meshem and Asaf, who were the guards there, Shabikshu the Shleich Yad Bemelech Hashveish, who wanted to kill him. Vayimra Hamelech, so the king says, oh, now I know I can't sleep because man nasi karik dula Mordechai alzeh. If you can't sleep, it must be because you failed to pay your proper appreciation for Mordechai. So the kings, all the king's men said, we never did anything to recognize this. Not Yikar and not Gedula. They didn't do anything to him. So the king says, what kind of response is this to the question? Who's in the court? So the Mefarshim here say that what he was asking was he wanted some ideas of what you can possibly do to honor Mordechai. So he asked, are any of my advisors in the chutzar? And Haman at that moment came to be ready to make his request. Lema the Melech litlaisas Mordechai. He came to ask the king to hang Mordechai ala eitz asher hechin loy upon the gallows that he prepared for
Mordechai.
Loy, you could read for Mordechai, but more accurately, he really came to hang Mordechai ala eitz asher hechin loy on the gallows that he prepared for himself, the Mefarshim say. That he didn't prepare. Chazal say loy la'atzmei. The Gemara Megillah says this is the gallows that he prepared for himself. The Maral and the Vilna Gaon pointed out in this pasuk that already it was decreed that these were his. These were the gallows of Haman.
Named a wine after it.
What's that?
Gala wine.
We've had that.